am number one. What does it take to be number one?
And then you said,
hey.
It's called number one.
Welcome to another edition of Comedia Go-Go's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we're in love with the Coco.
No.
And we know we are.
Not. No.
And not in love with the Coco.
On the Lolo.
What does it take to be number one?
Look, we're Nelly fans and
Drake fans.
And what's his
Coco
name?
Coco fans.
QT. We love the Coco. We go Coco for Coco.
Stop it right now.
We are happy campers, yes. Regan, to be talking about what today?
Three topics today. Topic number one is, what artist's work would you like to see represented in a movie? Topic number two is, when did you realize you were out of shape? I guess everyone in the world is out of shape.
I love how we just assume that you're just out of shape.
Everyone's out of shape.
Yeah.
And topic number three, what movie can you always turn to make you feel better?
We are pleased as punch.
Oh, yeah.
To have back on the podcast.
Yes, yes, yes.
Public Access alum.
Yes, yes, yes.
Best friend of Comedia Go-Go.
Yes, yes, yes.
The guy who owes his career to us that wouldn't be where he was today if it wasn't specifically for me. Not Comedia Go-Go, Larry Garza specifically.
Oh.
I am very, very pleased to welcome back from Hollywood, California, the Lawrence Mercado. How's it going, Lawrence?
Hello, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
I'm fucking Yay. Awesome. Why are you in San Antonio?
I love it.
Oh, crap.
I came into town to for two things. One, my theater teacher. Sorry to start off on a bummer note, but
This is a cool thing.
My theater teacher that I was very close to, a very awesome man named Robert Ream at Thomas Jefferson High School.
In San Antonio, Texas.
There was a lot of us that were very much so inspired by him because of everything that he did while we were with him. Like, he was just a very inspiring person and like pushed us very hard to, you know, get to where we wanted to be at and be happy with it and, you know, do what we wanted to do. And acting was a big thing for me at the time and still is, but I like being on the other side of the camera where I get to make people look awesome,
yeah,
or scary,
yeah,
or good looking, stuff like that.
Right,
it's fun. Mm.
Enhancing. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Enhancing. You're in love with the makeup.
Enhance. I'm glad that you got that. Yeah. So he passed away last month, I believe it was. Yeah, I believe it was last month. And they're having a funeral service. Well, it's more of a celebration of his life.
Wow.
At Jefferson.
What was
on
his name
Saturday
again?
Robert Ream.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome man. Actually, the year, I believe, after I graduated, he had an accident at the school. And he was paralyzed from the neck down.
Oh my god.
He fell off of into the orchestra pit. He
slipped. Oh my god.
Yeah, he slipped on one of the orchestra cases that were on the side of the stage. He had just slipped and fell into the pit. But the thing is like, he's done that before, like while we were there. Like he's fallen and he gets back up and he's like, I'm okay. Like one time we were checking the lights and we were all the way at the back of the theater and he was like standing in the front all the way at the back of the stage and he would yell to us and go, lights on. And then we would turn the lights on, lights off. And then we'd turn them off, lights on, lights off. And he would get closer and closer to the edge to make sure where the lights were hitting. And I just remember him going, lights off, lights on, lights off. Lights on, and then poof, lights on, lights on. And the lights went on. And I was just—I didn't see him at all on the stage, and you just see him pop up from underneath where the orchestra pit was, and just like, "I'm okay." Fell down, and I was like, "Are you all right?" He's like, "I'm fine. I'm fine. I'll be fine." And then he just kept working. We kept, you know, doing
just
whatever.
Break. It's just a break,
slight break. It's a clean break. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. It's—he was just a tough dude, but yeah, he. Sadly, yeah, he fell off of the stage and was paralyzed from the neck down. And
Jesus.
But the thing is like that didn't stop him as an artist.
Yeah.
He still did portraits, paintings with where they would put the paint on the ground and he would roll over it with his wheels and he would literally paint on a huge canvas and then they would put the paintbrush in his mouth and he would do all the detail with that while they were moving it around for him.
Wow.
And he did some beautiful stuff and he also was in progress. Well, I don't know if he actually did it or got to finish it, but He was talking about possibly doing a wheelchair ballet, like where wow. They were trying to write something like that at one point.
So how long was he in a wheelchair?
Total time, I couldn't even tell you, but I know since we graduated, it's been 10 years.
Oh my God.
10 years or plus. Good. But yeah, and last time I saw him, I was in town and he was in town. And it happened to be that four of us, of his graduating students from the same class, all were in town. So we went to his house and watched the Tonys with him. It was really cool. He was so happy to have us. We were happy to be there. It was just a great time. The last time I got to see him in person. But I knew he was sick on New Year's because he had posted like, hey, I'm going into the emergency room again. New Year's Day, this is what's happening. And then the next 2 days, a friend emailed me and said that he passed away. So I was like, oh, man.
From pneumonia?
No, I'm not sure exactly what it was. He was just, his body would kind of like do its own thing sometimes. And
right, well, you can't, I guess, feel if there's something aching or something.
Yeah, if he was sick, he was sick, you know?
Yeah.
So that happened, and he passed away. They told me about it, and I was trying really hard to see when they were going to have a ceremony for him or just like a wake or something. And nobody had ever gotten back to me until 2 weeks ago, I think. And they finally let me know that they were going to do something on Saturday. So I had just finished rapping on something on last Wednesday. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm not going to take anything. I'm just going to book the flight and I'm going to go. And then it just so happened also fall on my grandfather's birthday, which is today, which I flew into town and surprised all of them, which is really cool.
So you surprised a group of emotional Mexican women.
Yes. Yeah. All Mexican women, all crying. And it was really awesome. And they were so
And they're
funny.
Like, mijo.
Yeah. Nobody knew I was coming in. Just my mom and all of my aunts and uncles and everybody that had been like sending me love and Christmas stuff. Yeah. Just still were like, oh, well, wish you could come down here for a bit. And I was like, if I can, I will. So I got to. It was really nice. So I'm here and I'm here till Sunday. So I'm
excited. What'd you get to eat, bro?
MK Davis?
Oh, okay.
It was really good.
Yeah. It's like,
it was my grandpa's pick. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like a,
What is it?
It's like a, I don't know. American?
American?
It's burgers. Is it like Earl Abel's?
I guess, yeah. I mean,
there's like American food, like grandpa food.
Yeah, I mean, he always gets the same thing, which is funny because he could get anywhere, I would think, but it's just bean and cheese tacos.
No way.
He
really?
Always does that.
But from MK Davis.
He likes them from MK Davis. Like,
does he get like five of them?
No, he literally got 1.5 tacos. And it was like, is there cake? Like, yes, there's cake, Grandpa. Good.
Yeah.
He went walking around with his like $20 sash.
The sash?
Yeah. He went walking around the restaurant just telling people it was his birthday.
Nice. And they were giving him money?
Yes.
I was just I'd like, do that too, man.
Grandpa, what are you doing? He was like, I'm going to go use the restroom. And I was like, okay. He walked away and I didn't see him for a while. I was like, where did Grandpa go? He made a beeline to the restaurant instead of the restroom and he was just walking around. Like flaunting, it's like,
hey, it's my birthday,
and people gave him $5.
Hell yeah,
yeah. Like,
if I saw like an old man being charming,
absolutely,
and stuff like that, I'd be like, get the fuck away from my family.
Stop touching my dog.
Exactly,
$5.
Yeah, here's $5.
Get away.
No, he had fun. It was really cool. It's always nice seeing them.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm excited to be here with you guys.
Yeah, I'm still excited.
Yeah, you were the first people I actually texted. So I was like, hey, I'm coming in. Let's
hang out. And I went,
I can do a podcast.
Let's do the podcast.
Yeah, not like, hey, let's go get a beer. Like, no. Hey, let's go just do a podcast.
This is, how can we profit from your being in here?
Yeah, exactly. But you know what?
It's consolidation of time.
We can have a beer.
It's budgeting.
Here.
Nice.
Yeah, I got
no,
beer.
No, I like being here. No,
I like
would rather
you being
be doing this. Than having a beer right now just because I'm exhausted from the flight. And no joke. Like, it's I like being able just to sit here and relax with you guys.
Yeah, but it's like 9 o'clock for you, right?
Oh, yeah. You're in Hollywood time.
Oh, yeah. It is 9:16.
Yeah, so it's like party. You're like the sun's out.
Is
right?
It's 11?
16? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so for you, it's like fucking Tuesday. So
what did you just...
it's like February 17th.
It's in Hollywood time, bro.
Yeah, man, Hollywood time.
So you're in the future, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So why didn't you tell anyone about 9/11, man?
Where were you, bro? I was in English class, actually.
Oh, 9/11? Oh, man. I was in mass comm, dude.
Really?
Yeah. No. I skipped. And that's why it happened. Yeah,
thanks a lot, Larry.
I skipped in eighth grade, Oklahoma City. I skipped in college, 9/11. So now, and I don't play hooky anymore. Because if I do, fucking death and destruction.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So what'd you get through rapping on?
Oh,
And I don't mean like rapping like Nelly.
Chica, chica.
The best rapper.
I'm in love with the cook.
Give me bendy
for
my
Did you do makeup
cold?
On that video?
Baking soda. No,
please say
baking soda.
Lawrence
yes, I did all the baking soda.
to the baking soda song, which is what I'm going to call it.
I'm in love with the cocoa. Everybody listen to it. It's the worst, best song
ever. Oh, 96
ever.
Million people have already listened
yeah,
to it.
They've already heard this shit.
If anything, stop what you're doing right now. Go watch that video.
Pause the podcast and listen to it.
Watch.
And I guarantee that you will know all the words even before you're finished listening to the song.
And the best part about it is wait for the guy to say baking soda because his intensity, my friends, is insane.
So if you're
using his 50% passion and then 50% talent, but this guy is... He is 100% passion.
Yeah, like if you're a struggling artist, like a painter and something like that, and you want to get fame and you have no musical talent, I highly recommend you start a musical career because you will shine. Like if you have no musical talent and you want to be famous,
be a rapper.
No, it doesn't matter. Just do something. Like what's your favorite kind of music, and you're unable to do it, just kind of try and do it. And you'll fucking
96 million
succeed.
verse chorus
yeah
and
it helps
have
if they're both the same like yeah. I'm in love
catchy.
With the cocoa
catchy yeah. I'm in love with the cocoa is literally the only words there.
He had
this
friends
thing.
That helped him out there like he didn't you know. Do you think that was the first song he wrote?
I don't think he wrote it.
It's the first song
he said it's the first song he said. Yeah,
it's like that.
Does he have other songs?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I know nothing. That's, I don't know. Hey, what were you saying?
What did you just rap on?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I just finished two things, actually. January, we started off a three-week endeavor. That was really cool. Endeavor's the word, right?
Yeah, endeavor. It's a made teacher, by the Mercury.
Mercury.
I think Mercury Endeavor or nice. Rendezvous.
It's a voyage, right?
Yeah.
Nice. Fantastic voyage.
Slide, somebody slide. No, yeah, we started out on a project that I was head of the makeup department on the feature.
And, straight up.
Yeah, and I had three assistants, and it was
wow.
super cool,
yeah,
and
yeah.
they trusted me.
And what was it called again?
This movie called Juveniles. It stars Stephen Moyer from True Blood, Bill Compton, who plays Bill, and Kathleen Rose Perkins, who is on Episodes, and who is – she's in something else. I forget the other thing, but she's an amazing – look these people up. They're amazing actors, and – I was just so happy to be a part of like something like that because it's a cool story. It's kind of Fight Club meets Sons of Anarchy meets Romeo and Juliet type thing. It's really cool.
Wow.
It's a cool story. We got to do some really awesome.
And it's like, a feature?
Yeah, it's supposed to be shot. It was shot as a feature, and hopefully with the production value behind it. They were saying that it should be in theaters at one point. So
no, and you're I'm head of
yeah.
Damn,
I was head of the makeup department, hair and makeup, like not just effects,
but yeah,
it was like
true.
Everything.
So
from
are
under.
You unionized?
No, not right now. No,
okay.
It's a very tricky thing out there to be unionized to get something like that because you have to have certain amount of hours, and people that I know have been doing it for very long. Or barely getting to like I have 10 hours left. We're getting at this, you know. Kind
Holy
of thing.
Crap!
And then you also have to pay the dues.
Right.
Not too sure about the whole budget on what the dues are,
mm-hmm.
but it's pretty interesting. It's like if you ever get a chance, look it up. It's a crazy thing. It's kind of a catch-22 because you can't get a union card unless you've done so many features.
Right.
But you can't do those features unless you're in the union. So it's kind of...
Yeah.
It's really weird. It's a really weird thing. But sometimes people slip in... Like, say we were on this feature, and we were at a certain point, and we have a certain budget. Because I think this one was, I think, like $1 or $2 million for this one. But if it's over a certain amount of a budget...
you have to go union.
Well, they offer you. They offer to say, like, would you want to flip? Like, you want to flip this or something like... then the whole crew turns union, but you can only be union if you have those hours. So even if it flipped, I would still be shit out of luck because
got it.
I don't have the hours it takes to get into that right now. But it's cool because I'm still working, I'm still doing my thing, and I'm still.
But that's amazing, dude.
Yeah, it was a crazy thing to take on because I'd never been like. I mean, not that I haven't been head of something because I've been in charge of things, but I've never had that title where they were like, hey. This is what you need to do. You have this many people under you. So I'm just
Whoa. Did you learn how did you feel about doing hair?
Well, that's the thing is they said we have to have a hair person.
Yeah.
So I went around and I found a hair
person. You just
person.
Found a hair person.
Yeah, you had to assemble a crew.
I assembled
I was hoping
crew.
You were just like cutting people's hair. Like really. Whoa. Somebody give me a Flowbee.
Quick, 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 quick. This thing really sucks.
Lawrence Mercado.
Hello, hello.
That looks about right.
It's just the noise I make.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You get a cast of their hair.
You're like, oh. Why did you do that?
Well,
I know.
I'm going to cut it, but like, let me cut the cast first, man.
Hold on, bro. Chill out. Now, yeah, they said this is what we need, and I went and sought out help from other amazing artists that I just got to bring along for the ride, and they were very, very good. And the hair girl I got, her name's Audra. She's the best. The other girl is Alana, and my effects guy was his name was Ryan, and he's super. All three of them were just amazing, and I was so happy to have that and have the producers after everything actually say like, "Yo, I just want to say thank you for everything, and that we didn't even have to worry about your department. Like if there was a problem, wow. You guys fixed it, and
nice.
We're so happy about that." And I was just like, "Thank you." Like that makes me
great.
Feel good.
Yeah.
So
did you have like a pizza party?
No, we went to this fancy like bowling alley.
Oh, that bowling alley in L.A.
It's in Santa Monica.
Santa Monica.
The one that has a bar and shit.
Did they
have
pizza?
One that has a bar and it was open bar, dude.
Damn.
Did you have coco?
I didn't have
coco. Someone did. I guarantee you.
Oh, someone had coco.
Yeah, lanes of coco.
But was your pizza?
There wasn't, but there was a lot of other foods.
They had pretzels, right. Dogs.
No, but like, but pizza in California is
crisp
different.
Well,
than the pizza
they have their
that
own kitchen
know.
Out there. They so have special
tacos.
Kitchens.
No breakfast tacos out there.
They have special.
They have breakfast burritos.
California right, pizza kitchens. Don't out right. There.
That's great. Well, we're fucking so stoked to have you back.
Yeah, I'm just
glad to hear you're still just doing stuff. Like it's funny. Awesome. Yeah. I love how every time you come back, you're doing more stuff, man. Just continually.
And I hope that when. If you come back later on and you're just like, yeah, so I was working on this Spielberg thing and, you know, I was like, you know, whatever. And Spielberg was like, I'm gay.
Really?
I mean, you still come back and you fucking do the podcast because I guarantee that we're still going to be doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in this apartment.
Yeah. Regan ain't moving, man.
I love this apartment.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm moving.
The F stops here.
Yeah, but then
the
once
F you, stops here.
Yeah,
but then once you marry one of those girls that works at one of those clothing stores that models jeans.
No, he's gonna marry an assistant. That's how it works, bro.
Ooh, I hope.
They yeah, I saw cute. The pictures.
Oh yeah,
I've seen the pictures. I like that. I've seen your pictures.
I've seen the pictures.
Oh, on the
give
on
me
the,
more
on the Insta on La Insta.
I think so.
Yeah, go follow me on Instagram.
Yeah,
plugs
where can they
early.
Follow you at Instagram? At what?
At Lawrence_NBFX.
That's right, guys. So follow Lawrence and live vicariously through him.
Yeah.
And when you see like, you know, a really nice picture of like him, like, oh hey, I'm just working with Billy Crystal, you'd be like, you know, double tap.
I almost
that
worked
shit.
With Billy Crystal.
I believe it.
For a second.
On a live action Monsters Inc.?
No, but it ended up being we ended up working on it was either Billy Crystal or
Shia LaBeouf.
No, it was either Billy Crystal or James Franco, and James Franco ended up doing it.
And did you work with James Franco?
Yeah, yeah, I did a beard and a wig on him.
Was he nice?
He was interesting. Yeah, he was.
Yeah?
I didn't really talk to him much. We literally only had him for an hour.
So you're literally touching his face.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My
invading
God.
His privacy.
Let me see.
But
so many girls
he didn't
like,
even talk to you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was talking to him in the seat. I mean, usually when someone's in the seat, like...
Mm-hmm.
You're I'll working. Ask him. Yeah, I'm working on them. Some, I mean, whatever they. I'm making
like
sure
a
that
haircut,
they're not.
Haircut, just like.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going, man?
You know, honestly, it's we. What we do, I think everybody would that does makeup and/or hair or anything that somebody's in your seat for a while and you're working on them, you get kind of a therapy type session going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they'll talk to you about anything, and you can talk to them about anything too, as long as they feel. I just like someone that's in my seat to feel comfortable.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to be in that seat for a certain amount of time. Like, I'll ask straight away, like, what kind of music do you want to listen to?
Are you cool with my penis being pressed up against your thigh? Because it kind of has
okay.
to.
This is the way I work.
At some point.
This yeah, is the way I well, work. You wear girl pants. So you're just like
yeah, of course.
Moose knuckling on his elbow all day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not even I think about it anymore. It's just they're on in the morning. I don't even know how they got on.
Your pants or your balls?
It's like venom.
Oh, the girl pants are better. What was that called?
Symbiotic suit. It's a symbiotic pants.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What are you, size 13?
They get tighter as he gets angrier.
What are you about a size 16? You should be a fat person.
Oh, that's what I kept doing too on set. I kept going in the walking, just going, candy cane. Candy cane. Do you remember that? Joyride? It was his voice.
Oh, was it really? Gosh.
It was his voice. They never used his face, but it was just his voice, and he'd go, candy cane. Candy cane. So gross.
Yeah, he was on Monk. I couldn't watch Monk because Buffalo Bill, I couldn't do it.
And he's funny in that.
Hey, Monk. Yeah. Every time
you're in here, I've been here. It's just don't touch the dead body.
Yeah, and he's in the Hills of Eyes remake.
Yeah, that he's good in that.
Yeah, and they fucking charred him.
Ted Levine.
Yes,
Ted Levine. Yeah,
yeah, Ted Levine.
Booyah! I didn't even fucking.
I always remember that.
Come on in, Jodie Foster.
Adam Levine's brother.
I always remember that. Huh?
Adam Levine's brother.
Yeah, it's Adam.
That will always stick. That it went so long. We're doing the male thing from Silent Hill.
Yeah, so I can see what you're doing. Yeah, I was about to say, probably when he drops it, we did a remake, Larry Garza impression of Silence of the Lambs. Yeah,
throwbacks.
Just him doing,
come on in, Jodie Foster.
And then a stupid male thing.
Yeah. Well, hello.
Please, put your hands where I can see them.
Say them.
Put your hands where I can see them.
Mailed you.
You gotta post it now so that people can know what the hell we're talking about.
Ah, man, you
mail. You, my mail's dropping.
You got mail. Goodbye.
Oh, she doesn't live here anymore.
Well, Lawrence, dude. Yeah, see, we don't need beers. We just need microphones. Just hanging out.
And chocolate. Lots of chocolate.
What we do need is a suck hard.
Oh, yeah. So, all right, it's candy time, apparently.
It's candy time on public access.
Jess has had that thing unwrapped and itching.
He's been wanting to eat that.
Yeah, well, because it's called a suck hard, and I wanted to see what the suck hard tastes like.
Okay.
So I had a couch surfing friend from France. She stayed here, and she left me a lot of French chocolates.
Yeah.
Larry, go and pick a picture of the suck hard. It's literally called Le Chocolat de Puy 1826.
Stop pretending, bro.
I'm just saying what it says, bro. Anyway, there's suck hard. S-U-C-H-A-R-D.
Do you have a knife? We can cut it in half?
I don't know, but Jess has been wanting to eat this for the past 30 minutes.
I want to taste it.
Yeah, I want to cut it in half, but I want to bite it because I layer
it. You haven't had one?
But
there was only two in there.
She ate them.
Fucking
what?
She also left a bunch of other chocolate.
Yeah, but this is obviously the
good damn,
shit.
That's full of chocolate.
Whoa. That is a solid chunk of chocolate.
Dude, that's...
It's almost like a truffle...
It looks kind of like a Baby Ruth inside?
No, like the...
It is good.
Ferrero Rocher.
All right, this is chocolate on chocolate.
All right, going for it.
All right, here we go.
I'm in love with the cocoa.
Guys, I'm allergic to chocolate.
I strip as a chunk of chocolate with some Rice Krispie.
That is chocolatey.
Chocolatey.
It's not Rice Krispie.
Crispy.
It's toffee.
Mm-mm.
That's not toffee.
It's not toffee. It's just almonds.
This is almond.
That's really good.
Yeah, it's like a Frère Rocher.
It's really chocolate.
Frère Rocher.
It's like a cigar.
All right, it's like a cigar. She just got a chocolate.
Say, girl, you want a cigar?
She says,
Lawrence,
yes,
calm down. Is this California Pizza Kitchen?
You know what makes chocolate?
Cocoa. Yeah. Yeah, Lawrence is fist dancing.
Fist in the
air. Oh, man.
Yeah. You getting hard?
I'm getting hard.
Yeah. Jess gets really horny with chocolate, man.
Look at him.
No, dude.
That's pretty good.
That long ting shirt's getting tighter, man.
Drink
some water here.
Well, Lawrence, we're really happy that you're here and we're in love.
Yeah,
with the Lolo. With the Mercado.
Jess is high on coke.
Straight up high on coke.
Yeah, on the cocoa leaf.
So, Jess.
Yeah.
What's going on, Jess? What do we got today?
Hey, so it's time for another edition of Yeah, I'm gonna look into that. A segment where I talk about movies and games, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of listeners and friends would be, yeah, I'm gonna look into that. So this week, we're talking about the upcoming movie called Digging Up the Marrow.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's, I know about Hollywood. No, I actually worked on that. I did makeup on the animated feature.
Oh, hello. And Digging Up the Marrow is a pseudo-documentary from director Adam Green, who directed plenty of those Hatchet movies and also the movie Frozen. Not the Disney Frozen, but the movie of the college kids that get stuck up in the ice rafters and are chased by wolves.
Friends and their companions.
Yeah, exactly. And they meet a snowman and the magic happens. So Digging Up the Marrow is a pseudo-documentary featuring the artwork of artist Alex Pardy. Now, Lawrence, you have a connection somewhat, a little bit with this name, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, so what happened? We talked about this a while ago, but what...
Tell us more about it, Lawrence.
God damn it.
I got... well, I met him here, actually.
Really?
I met him here at
Regan's place?
Yeah. I met him at Art Slam through my friend Rob Perez. And he would throw the Art Slams. And I met him. And I really loved his artwork. And we talked a little bit at the show. Didn't really, at the time, didn't really know him too well.
Mm-hmm.
So the next morning he calls and says, hey, man, me, Alex, and L'Amour Supreme, all these guys are hanging out. And we went to... every time he goes into a different city, he gets a new mask, like a horse, like just a regular, you know, Halloween mask or whatever, or something's weird. And Rob called and said, do you have anything at your shop or do you know anywhere we can go get anything? And I said, no, it's Sunday morning. Nothing is open. But I have a couple of things here at home of my personal collection that I made before. You can come by, and if he likes anything, he can just take it. I don't care. Like, I'll make another one. So he did. They came by the house. I was so happy because they were just like in awe of my house.
Yeah.
Because they just walked in and were like, dude, you have so many cool things here everywhere. And I was like, thank you. But they came in. We hung out and he took the masks and he's had them ever since. He posts them every once in a while. He'll have one on. Just like,
What did he take?
It's like a melted face mask that I made. It was just a gross looking thing. And flash forward to Los Angeles. He was working on a film with Bobcat Goldthwait called Willow's Creek. They were having a premiere at Meltdown, and they went to go show it. And at the end of it, I was walking around the comic book store, and I saw Alex. And I was like, hey, man, what's up? He's like, oh, shit. What's up, dude? How are you? I was like, good. I live here now, and blah, blah, blah. He's like, I have a gallery here later on in the month, and you should come by. And I was like, yeah, sure. We exchanged numbers, and I told him I would really love to do something for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just to do something, put something in it, just for fun. So I made a half-face thing, prosthetic, and he has this character called Bunny With.
Mm-hmm.
And mine was
Bunny
called
With?
Yeah, and Bunny With is just the cool character because it's Bunny With, you know, razor blade arms, or Bunny With, you know, no face.
Bunny With,
yeah. And it's a bunny with no arms, and it's just like a bunny shaped thing. But Bunny With is really rad, and I did this thing that was called Bunny Within, and it was Bunny With coming out of somebody's face, which is actually my friend Anthony Guajardo.
Mm-hmm.
And was the model for it. And we went to the gallery and people took pictures. It was really cool. He loved it.
Now, Anthony Guajardo was on the Cholo episode of The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Which you have been working on The Walking Dead. Which you worked on since the pilot
the Oscar,
episode,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Really weird.
Yeah. Oh, a TV show winning an Oscar is fucking incredible. And congratulations.
Thank you very much.
On
that's what
Oscar.
I was getting at.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, that's my connection.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm a fan of his artwork. It's awesome. It's I guess it's been described. I don't know, but it's pop art because not all of his art is inspired by actual movie works or characters. He has that in his catalog, but he has a lot of original work too. My phone, Lawrence saw it. I have it's one of my screensavers. It's the hitchhiker from Creepshow 2.
Yeah,
and so he's just an amazing artist. He's really good. So this movie, Digging Up the Marrow, what it is a pseudo-documentary where it's this almost like a detective...
Live
kind
action?
Of, live action, yeah. Okay. Where Adam Green plays an actual like investigator, almost like a like a ghost hunters type of thing, but he's actually like a paranormal investigator type of thing. But it's actually like real monsters. And this guy played by Ray Wise, he played Satan in that show
Reaper,
which
is one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, which was a great show. I really liked that show. And he basically insists that monsters do exist.
and it's kind of a camera crew going into the woods, going looking at him. It's not so much found footage, the traditional style. It's kind of cut together like as if it was like a real expose into it. And the monster design and the monsters themselves are directly created by Alex Pardy, and like so that a lot of his artwork is featured in the movie, and then I think like realized fully, you know. I guess that's, you know, that's where the movie goes. The monsters are actually designed.
Like live action.
Live action.
Practical. It's so cool. I think it's a cool movie.
Oh, so you got to see it?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
If you're into...
He's way ahead of you, Jess. He's already looked into that.
Yeah, he has.
I looked into that.
Yeah.
It was really nice. No, it's a great movie. And the way his characters are represented are... It's such a cool way that they got represented into that.
Probably already saw Star Wars 7.
Actually, I...
look at that. Listen to that.
My friend Candace was a wardrober on it, so she...
She sent me a copy of the whole film.
Yeah.
It's already been made.
Twice already. Yeah, I had to burn it after I saw it, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, it burned after reading, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it.
I almost got to go to the rap party for that. No joke.
For Star Wars?
For the Star Wars?
She invited me, and then she had to go out of town, so I didn't go.
What? But could she really give you her ticket? Or I don't know how that works.
It was her name on the ticket. It was like a stamped...
Can't you make your makeup, dude? Make you look... You should be the master of disguises.
You fucking Mrs. Doubtfire that shit.
Exactly. Come on, man.
Come on, Dana Carvey.
I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. Just saw that, too.
Matchmaker. Yeah. Matchmaker. Robin Williams, killed himself.
I know. We got to, you know what? I sincerely, like, no joke, like, I was so happy that I got to see him at Meltdown, because he just showed up one day with Bobcat, and Bobcat introduced everybody, and I was just like, oh, God, it's Robin Williams.
World greatest dad?
Yeah, dude. I was just like, oh, man, this is weird, because he came out, and my friend Dave that sells the posters, Dave Clock, check him out. He's an amazing artist. He does amazing things. He was selling his posters outside the, like, right outside the door of the venue, and Robin Williams came out, and he saw us, and we were just like, oh. He's like, oh, these are posters? And I was like, yeah, yeah. And Dave was like, here, you can have one. He's like, oh, no, I don't want to take him from you. Like, let me buy one. He's like, no, take it, please. He's like, oh, this is fucking beautiful. This is fucking gorgeous. And he just looked at it for the longest time. It was like, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to put this in my office room. Like, this is beautiful, man. And he's like, thank you so much. Really appreciate that. And he was like, oh, he's like, I'm Robin. Nice to meet you. And Dave was just like, I'm Dave. And he looked at me and he was like, hi, I'm Robin. And I was like, Lawrence, nice to meet you. And he's like, nice to meet you. I was like, dude, your set was amazing. He's like, oh, thank you. I haven't been on stage for so long. And that was really fun. I got to do that. And he literally went on stage and talked about iPhones and just phones in general, how they were going to be our soul box. He kept calling them soul boxes.
Yeah.
Because it's when the world is done and Armageddon is over and aliens come to Earth.
They're going to pick
these up and look at them and go, look at these. They took pictures of their food. These are amazing. And he just went on and on and on and on about everything. And I was just like, that's amazing. How he was so funny on just like one thing. He was just doing a rant on.
Then he met you.
Larry.
What? God.
What? You don't even know what I'm going to say.
You skipping school.
Oh, don't skip school.
No, don't meet celebrities.
No.
R.I.P. Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, no.
Hey, now, what's his name?
Jack McGruber?
No. James Franco.
James Franco's going to be dead season.
God damn it, no.
No.
You heard it here first.
No, don't do that. That's horrible.
Like, Robin Williams was...
I don't know you, Lawrence Shine. No, don't do that to anybody.
No, I'm not... No.
But no, he was super nice, and he...
He was.
He said hello to all of us, and he was very cool. Oh, come on.
Larry.
No, I am a huge Robin Williams fan, and I resent you for that.
What?
Like, you took him away from us,
son of a bitch. Don't do that.
And like, I remember Lawrence was like, Larry, you never guess what I'm
No, but how cool would it be if James Franco's dead in a year?
Oh.
That would not be cool. Come on. That happened. Don't meet anybody else.
You should check out that it was, I get to say this. I didn't even realize it. I did something that went to Sundance and got standing ovations.
What? No way.
The makeup was for, the thing on Franco was for a documentary about this comedian named Barry Crummins.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's an amazing stand-up comedian, and he stopped for a while. And I mean, the whole documentary is just about him and all,
did you meet
all
him?
His different friends. I didn't get to meet him. He was from Boston. Wait, not Boston. He's from Boston? He's from the East Coast.
Yeah.
And they kept going back and forth to like do the documentary with him during the whole while they were filming everything, getting all the footage. And this was a very last-minute thing because Barry actually says, I feel like people are gonna like forget me unless, you know, I'm played by a young Hollywood star or something, and then it cuts to something like that. Somewhere in the movie. I don't even know if it made it in, but I got credited as, you know, hair appliance, nice. Effects appliance, and it's at Sundance, and it got Yay. Three standing ovations three separate times at Sundance.
What?
And I was just like,
how
whoa.
Long was it?
I think it's like, I don't know. I don't know how long the running time is,
mm-hmm.
but they came back. Bobcat was just like crazy excited about how like awesome they got a like response from it. It was just really
but
cool.
But you and Bobcat are like buddies, right? A little bit, maybe?
Acquaintances.
Does he text you?
No, I don't have his number or anything. He's a really nice dude. So every time we see each other, he's just like, hey, how are you? You know, whatever. We get to talk about, you know, work and stuff. And I really would love to work on something with him, like more effects heavy.
Have you seen him do stand up?
Yeah. Yeah. He's super funny. He's very funny just in person. And he's a huge Ed Wood fan.
Yeah.
So me having Bela Lugosi and him having Ed Wood, like, we kicked it off pretty
frenzies.
Pretty, yeah. He was just like, that's a cool tattoo. I'm like, your tattoo is really cool. But I'd never met anybody that had an actual Ed Wood tattoo, like a whole arm yeah. thing. So it was really cool. But no, he knows what he wants, and he knows exactly how to like direct somebody into getting that what he wants from them. So it's really cool.
That's all. Well, let's.
Sorry. Yeah.
No. It's really interesting. Don't apologize. We'll play a game to see if we can mention a celebrity that Lawrence hasn't met.
You sons of bitches.
No, I'm jealous.
But digging up the marrow, check it out.
Yeah, you got Lawrence's pitch in there. I just look cool. I love his artwork, so it just looked cool to me. Wow, that's great.
No, it's a great. He's in love with the cocoa.
That's not cocoa. That's Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, Larry's about to do a line of Sour Patch Sand.
Just rub it in your teeth, quick.
That's real.
That's real stuff.
God damn it, Larry. I know you're just going to put it on the carpet.
No, I'm not.
It won't
put
be
it back in the box.
No one will know.
So Alex Purdy is working, featured in the movie Digging Up the Marrow. Looks really awesome. And that actually inspires our first topic for the night. And the topic is, what artist's work would you like to see represented in a film? Digging Up the Marrow. Totally, like, the monster creature design is designed by him, and his artwork is, like, on drawing. I guess, like, are they, like, supposed to be his interpretation of what the monsters are, or they're kind of, like, reaccounting of what it is? Because in the trailer, you'll actually see his artwork.
Yeah, he explains it where he pulls up one of, you know, obviously it's part of his painting.
Yeah.
And he says, these are what they look like. And then, you know, Adam Green asks, are those yours? Did you draw those out of like from memory? And he's like, no, I had an artist. Obviously, he's like, obviously, I can't draw.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I had an artist come in and I explained him what I needed and he drew it for me. All of these are from him. So it kind of like gives a nod to Purdy, but it doesn't ever say his name.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, but if you know Purdy and you know his work, then you know immediately who he's talking
about. Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. So, so what artist's work would you like to see represented in a film? And I'll kick it off. And I had to look up the name because this is a name I wasn't familiar with. I was just familiar with the actual work. But the artist's name is Hieronymus Bosch.
Yeah, Hieronymus Bosch.
Bosch. Mm-hmm. So he's from the Netherlands, and
that's where Napoleons are from.
That is where Napoleons are from.
I have a
friend. They're taller than everybody else, by the way.
His arguably his most famous work.
The Netherlands.
Netherlands. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're big.
They're tall people.
Arguably his most famous work is the Garden of Earthly Delights. It is a triptych. It's a three-piece giant painting that represents. Essentially, Adam and Eve getting the apple from God, and then that's like the first left of mm-hmm. the painting, and so it kind of has like it's supposed to, I guess, represent paradise.
It's over my TV.
Yeah, and then the middle part, the larger section of the painting is essentially like Earth. Paradise Lost, but it's Earth, and it's just people doing
fucking
just crazy kind of shit. It's living in sin. And the third portion, which is the size of the paradise portion, is his representation of hell. And just
which is musical.
Oh, is that the one that everyone's like getting jabbed and like different creatures?
It's like the famous section of it that's made its own poster.
Uh-huh.
It's a little like baby bird eating somebody.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts of the painting. That painting always frightened
me as a kid.
It should. It's
staring at all of it going, why?
The kids watch cartoons with it right over them.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
His kids, not kids in general.
Oh, okay. Yeah, exactly.
Go to my house.
Your kid's name is Gunner.
Yeah, it is. It was almost Hieronymus.
He's okay.
So Bosch's work is in general just really elaborate. I love that art style or that artwork. Any artwork that expands and you can look at and catch all these details and a lot of things happening, whether it's something very exquisite like that or and it sounds so dumb, but even like Mad Magazine, I forgot the artist's name, but you know he does the same thing with these light, large, almost like a what inspires pretty much.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's very Weird Waldo.
Tons
yeah.
of shit going on in one picture. I just love that kind of. I just love that spread out. But his that particular painting in general, that would be a beautiful nightmare to see kind of done. I don't know. I incorporate into a story would be the challenge, I guess. But see it visualized and done, kind of, you know, have it inspire some kind of visual thing. I think would be really cool. So
that's a good.
Yeah,
pick.
The painting is the Garden of Earthly Delights by Hieronymus Bosch.
Nice.
Yeah.
And to transition, inspired by Hieronymus Bosch is my favorite artist, Joe Coleman. I knew, you know, that's where I was going. Yeah. Are you a Joe Coleman fan?
Joe Coleman.
Yeah, dude.
Really?
He's amazing.
If you probably told me something that he did, I probably... Oh, I just don't know a name.
He did Gates of Heck. He did Muzzles, Guzzlers, and Good Rags, and he did the Carl Panzeram biography.
Are these like paintings? Or are they
they're
books?
They're paintings.
Yeah. There's
books,
a documentary that's pretty about him. Yeah.
Yeah. They kind of did a movie on him.
Really?
There was a documentary that this guy from Transylvania did. He has, just like really all of us, he has an auditorium, right, in his New York apartment or condo, whatever you want to call it. And he's really into freak show. He's a geek, right? So, you know, he bites the heads off of mice and stuff. He's a sideshow performer. He goes by Dr. Mombazo. It's a really good documentary. He was friends with Hazel Atkins, the one-man band guy, right? Jim Jarmusch is in the documentary. But his artwork, it's their profile pieces. He does a lot of like serial killers and madmen and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And his paintings, they're frames. Everything is framed within a frame within a frame, and surrounded by, like what Jess was saying, he's inspired by Hieronymus Bosch, because you look really closely into his art and there's little details there. You know, you have a picture of Ed Gein with his arms crossed, and right below him is his mom Augusta, who's in the exact same pose. And every little detail behind his painting, it's important and it's telling a story, and they're always biographical paintings, even autobiographical paintings when he does pictures of himself, you know, showcasing an ugly world, and it's horrific and it's gross. Like, he has a Man of Sorrows, which is a crucifixion story, and it's just Jesus like beat up, and if you're Catholic, you're used to those visions of seeing, you know, he's Catholic, of a beaten Christ, and you know, depictions of certain stories of the Bible within it, right? And there's one that stuck with me forever. It's a picture of this demon in like a pope's you know, a papal hat and a robe, and kind of presenting this like tabernacle and altar and stuff. And what it's in reference to is when Jesus was tempted by the devil, right? And it's suggesting that he tempted Jesus with being the number one prophet in all of the world and having these lavish churches worshiping him, and that Jesus actually took him up on that, because that's really what the world is. Rio de Janeiro has that giant statue, and it's kind of like, hey, if you give your soul to me, I'll give you all this. And he kind of did, you know, even though he's Catholic, it's that kind of mentality. There's a little picture of an adolescent Christ doing pranks, you know, because there's a lost book of Jesus. Like, anyway, Joe Coleman is my favorite artist by far. And if they did movies based on any one of his paintings, they would be 4 hours long, because there's so much detail and story behind every little piece of his paintings. I got to show you. You'd love him.
I could see definitely Terry Gilliam doing that.
Right?
Like turning one of his things into like a big, huge masterpiece kind of.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah, I don't know.
But
he did
Hank Williams Sr., you know, so it's not all like serial killers and stuff like that. And
Houdini.
He did Houdini, one of his Johnny Depp owns that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that I love that. That's just, it's great.
Is that it?
Yes, you cocksucker.
I just didn't know if you know a lot about him. I know he's your favorite, so I didn't know if you wanted to talk more about him.
Es todo.
I have some books of his.
He's a super fan.
Super
Henry, hey, you know that Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer?
Yeah.
He did the artwork for the poster.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
My artist, I really didn't have
I don't have like a artist that I'm like, oh, I remember. But this dude name, I look him up. His name is Christy Caracas. He did the MGMT video. He does Super Jail. Like he has a style.
Wait,
that's
did he
like
do kids, the kids MGMT.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck that dude.
No, he did the animation part of it, dude. Okay. Anyway, he's got like a crazy, weird, cool style that I just really like. It's kind of, I don't know. It's just all over the place. And yeah.
He worked on Wonder Chosen, right? With some of his segments.
Yeah. He did Wonder Chosen. He does a lot of weird, dark, crazy stuff. But I really like his, I really like what he does. He's got his own cool sort of, his own like, I don't know, his own style. It's kind of gritty, weird, all over the place, kind of dark. So I think that would be cool. Christy Caracas, spelled Karacas. I don't know. I like his stuff. That's the first one. If he made a freaking animated feature, I'd totally go watch it. And everything that I've seen that he does, I really like. I'm a big fan of every, like you said, even Wonder Shows. I like everything that he does. It's really, really cool.
And that'd be insane to see that in live action.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like some of the stuff that he comes up with, like it's just, it's crazy. It's weird.
But I mean, is that what the topic is? What you would like to see in live action?
Well, no, a movie. Animation can be fine because another example.
Like that thing right there. Like to see that come in like real life.
That would be frightening. Like not an answer of mine, but I think I wouldn't be surprised if it was an answer on Facebook would be like Calvin and Hobbes. Like that's been a big thing for some people. Oh, yeah. They'd love to see that animated. That would definitely count. Not an answer of mine. That's actually one of those things where I prefer. Like I on the page, I actually like, don't want to see that moving.
Yeah, for sure. It's like The Goon. Yeah, no, Eric Powell does The Goon. It's really, really awesome. Because his stuff is amazing. They're actually doing it in a CGI type situation.
Oh, is that what the Kickstarter is trying?
Yeah. Okay. Looks so good. Paul Giamatti's voicing Frankie. What's his name? Clancy Brown is doing The Goon. It's great, great choices for voices.
For voices.
Ooh. Wait, is that your answer?
No.
Oh.
Are you done, Regan?
Yeah, I was done very quickly.
Stephen Gammell. Did all the illustrations for Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
We were just talking about it.
Okay.
Yeah. I think. And the fact that it's already in the process of being made is pretty nuts because it's already on, like, it's being produced. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to finish it up and get, like, all the stuff done. I'm interested in seeing how creepy they make everything. Because it's live action. I don't know. I have no idea.
Should be. I mean,
I would hope so. Yeah. Look at all of that.
My
next tattoo is going to be one of those.
You should be, man.
That is my childhood.
He disputes the cliche, don't judge a book by its cover. Because you should totally judge.
Yeah.
The art was sometimes better than the story.
Oh, my God. The stories were good. Mm-hmm. The art made them horrifying. Because there's an anthology came out. And it was just a thick book, and all the illustrations were done by somebody else. Totally ruined it.
Yeah.
Ruined it.
But they released an art book with his.
Yeah, and they're gorgeous. There's my favorite one is Harold, the story of Harold the Scarecrow.
Yeah.
You remember that one?
Yeah.
Where it would make that grunting noise every time it was at dinner with them.
Yeah.
Like, and the guy just made it that day. Like, it was.
Have you read Monster Mama?
Monster Mama?
I told this in a past podcast, but it's Andy's favorite story. Because it's about this kid who gets picked on, and his mother, it's a boy, his mother's a monster. And so he's like, you know, I want these kids to stop making fun of me. And so he's like, we'll let your mama take care of it. So they go to pick on him in his house, and she fucking scares the shit out of him.
That's Harold.
Yeah, Harold, yeah.
That was one of my favorite stories, and that's probably going to be my next tattoo.
It should be. It's amazing.
Everything
he's
about
that. Dressed like you.
Thank you.
Hey.
He doesn't have girl jeans on, though.
Andy orders it online.
Yeah.
So they are ripped and his legs are spread.
Hold on.
So Andy orders it online.
Yeah.
$5 in this like half price books thing just because she wanted to read it to the kids. And it came autographed by the author and Stephen Gammell.
What the fuck?
And we got it for like $5. Autograph.
I want that so bad. That's awesome.
No.
I think that's something that I'm excited to see come to life, which is definitely in the vein of digging up the marrow because there are things that you already know as one thing to be true, like that his illustrations are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And to see them brought to life is sincerely something that you're like, whoa, that's fucking cool. I love that. That's one of my favorite things is to see something live action done well.
Yeah.
That you're like, damn, that's awesome. Like even if it's just like a sculpture of something, but it's live action. Like, yeah. That's fun to me. I think that's a great thing. So, yeah, I think that's my pick for sure.
Yeah,
awesome.
Scary
awesome.
Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Nice, yeah. nice. Good call. All right, Facebook answers. Charles Gomez says MC Escher. Inception doesn't count.
Oh, but does Labyrinth count?
Ooh, Labyrinth.
Labyrinth, that straight up. Yeah, straight up the middle part. Yeah, very straight up. But she had Escher paintings on her wall.
Yeah. Oh, she did.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. It's already been done, guy.
All right.
Ah, well, you can see more of it.
Braylon Bell says Leonardo, Donatello, Michelangelo, and Raphael.
Yeah, that's the only artist you need to see. Yeah.
Jordan Cobb says J.H. Williams III.
Comic book artist.
Samson Portillo says Sam Keith.
Sam Keith.
Yeah, you stupid ass.
Brandy Dunnigan says Yoko Ono. Come on, you know a movie about that.
Okay, yes. Sam Who? Keith. Sam Keith is the artist behind The Max.
Okay, that's what I thought. That is exactly what I thought.
Shout out to Samson Portillo. Gave me this wonderful collage of clips from The Max. Which is thanks, Sam.
I heard somewhere they were supposed to make that into a live action film too.
But it's actually Larry who commissioned it. So.
It fell through though.
It did.
Oh, check it out! Alfred Perez says Stephen Gammell from Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Thank you. Was it Alex Perez?
Alfred.
Alfred Perez.
He'll go by Alfred. Freddy, yeah, or Alex. Or
whatever Joel calls him.
Shaggy from Pudo Slam says Ralph Steadman.
Ooh.
He posted a picture. Thank you, Shaggy.
Ralph Steadman, yes. But it was also, they did a lot of that in Fear and Loathing. They did bring them to life a little bit.
True. They tried. Yeah,
way to go, stupid.
Tommy Munoz says, I love some Mark Ryden.
Yes, he's very dark.
Pink Lincoln painting.
That's actually one of Lisa's favorites. Mark Ryden.
Thank you for posting a video,
Tommy. Gothic, giant eyes, very gore, like semi-gory. It's very, very cool stuff.
Oh, Judson Cooper says Ralph Steadman as well.
Nice.
So two votes for Ralph Steadman. Samantha Lyons-Reek says movie based on the art of Jacek Jurka and directed by Timur Bedimkov.
The director of
Jacek Jurka, J-A-C-E-K Jurka. Look it up, Jess.
All right, Timber. Yeah, it's the director of Night Watch.
Yeah. Travis K says Van Gogh. He's my favorite artist, and though he may be dead, someone could at least get close and go to a style. That'd be interesting. And Ross Carter says, I want a live-action superhero movie where everyone is enhanced via CG to Rob Liefeld proportions. Once again, Rob Liefeld.
tiny chest, tiny pee-pees.
Did you see the CGI versions of them that people had posted up?
Yeah.
Oh, God,
nothing good. Nothing beats the Captain America picture. That Photoshop Captain America picture stole the fucking ridiculous
thing. I hated that. I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure everybody loved it, but I did not like the way they looked in those comic books.
You can hate it.
I hate it. Candy Kern.
Oh, wow, okay. This definitely familiar Jacek Jurka.
That's awesome.
It's familiar stuff. I never knew the name, but yeah, that's incredible artwork. That's really, really
nice.
Cool. Oh, that's badass.
Very, very cool. I like that.
Yeah, Jacek Jurka. I like it.
I'm in love with
And Jess, you're in love with Digging Up the Marrow?
I'm going to give it a shot. I definitely want to see that going on. Definitely for that. So Digging Up the Marrow, yeah, I'm looking to that.
All right, guys. So now it's time for another edition of Dad's Cornered.
We are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch!
Yay!
That's right, guys. So, you know, once again, I am outnumbered.
Fuck.
You haven't impregnated anyone, right, yet?
Thankfully, no.
Yes.
Okay, at one point, I'd like to. My wife.
You sure?
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably happen before she becomes your wife.
No.
But either way.
I want to romance this woman.
Maybe. I mean, you'll romance her, and then you get to the point where you get to put it in her kids. And
you know what I want?
Up in it.
Sincerely?
Yeah.
I want to have kids so that, not just because of this, but I want to have a kid that one day will be in a movie theater with all of his friends and be like, yo, my dad did that.
Fuck your dad, man.
Well, what did you say, bro?
Dude, you should just get with a chick who's got like a 10-year-old right now. Oh, yeah. And they can do that already.
No,
not what, like in a theater.
But
theater.
You're going to look
forward. The Sundance thing.
You're going to look forward to like, hey, you see that movie? Yeah, my dad did that. Man, I can't wait to meet him.
Oh, no.
That's what you're going to do, dude.
No.
That's what you're going to do, dude.
I just know my kids are going to have the best Halloweens.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, fuck you, man.
Right.
You're welcome, Way. Yeah.
Lawrence is so busy on Halloween.
But what if you end up with a Jehovah's Witness and you don't get to celebrate?
I'm still celebrating.
Nuh-uh. Because you love her so much.
She came into my world, bro.
No, hombre,
dude. If you're going to romance her, bro.
You're going to be Ethan Hunk on Boyhood, dude. Oh. You're going to be Ethan Hunk on Boyhood, dude.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, well, you'll get it. It'll take you 12 years to watch it, bro.
How long is that movie?
That's not how it works. No, it's a 12-year movie.
It's a documentary, bro.
Yeah.
About a kid.
It's shot in chronologicals, dude. Patricia Arquette, Sasuke.
Yeah.
Ugh. 12 years of boy. Yeah, Ethan Hawke. Fuck it. Yeah, I think he's part black because he don't crack, dude.
He get better looking, bro. Training crack, day made him stay young. Yeah.
Why Avetas, way?
I put cases on all y'all.
Well, okay. So in this edition of Dad's Corner, I'm gonna talk about another aspect of being a dad, and that's being a husband, right? Yeah. If we're going by Lawrence's standards.
Yeah, I guess you have to get married first.
And the thing about what's going on now is Andy's doing that 21-day fix. Ever heard of that?
21-day fix?
Yeah, it's like this fad diet, right? You know, it's like
Is Atkins. That when you put like a rubber band on one titty for 21 days?
That's from 50 Shades.
No, they do that on Dr. Pol a lot.
Dr. Pol?
What's Dr. Pol? Is that like Max Hardcore?
No, Dr. Pol's this awesome show on Nat Geo Wild, and it's a farm veterinarian.
Oh, but he does shit on humans?
No.
Dr. Pol.
Dr. Pol.
Is he on Brazzers?
No, that's Dr. Longpole.
Yeah. You're thinking of Doc McStuffins.
I'm thinking of Chad D. and Baylor.
Doc McStuffins.
But here's the thing. So
French style.
Surly slapskins.
So she's on this diet. Shirley slapskins.
Yeah, Surly slapskins.
Dude, Jess is on chocolate, man. He's ready to drunk. Fuck.
No. I'm defusing the situation with like fruit candies and trying to get
out. No, you are ready to fuck, dude.
Yo, he's so horny right now.
Yeah, like he's just eyeballing Lawrence with his fucking girl pants, and he's like, "You're gonna get mixed stuff, dude."
Real horned up.
Oh yeah. My god.
Jess is like a big sea lion when he's ready to fuck, man. He's like he's not just horny, he's ready to fuck.
You get in his way, he'll fuck you.
Yeah, ain't no denying, man.
I like
man.
How you're trying to even the chocolate out with more candy.
Yeah.
No. You got a Napoleon.
Yeah, you have to dial it out. Like, after an Oreo heaven at gyms, you have to, like, you have to have a cheeseburger to even, yeah. It's like a Viagra that won't go down. Like, oh, the doctor says, well, just have a cheeseburger or something.
I'm gonna fuck this hamburger. What a real warm. What
so, guys out there.
Oh, diets.
Diets. So she's been, you know, a few days in, you know, the diets change and everything like that. And I think she's fine, but she's just not happy with herself.
It's your fault, bro. No, you don't make her feel pretty, bro.
I do. I tell her.
Don't put it in the right hole, bro.
No, but dude, I tell her all the time, you're fine. You're fine. But you know she's doing it for herself, and I'm honestly being like 100% supportive because you know that sort of because
you
hard.
Have to be
no man because I can make fun of her and
okay
I could be a dick and yeah. I can be a cheeseburger fucking a cheeseburger but I'm like you know
no. I think it's bad when the kids jump in. Has that happened?
Mikey has kind of been like, what's quinoa, right? But
quinoa's good, dude.
Quinoa is quinoa's good. But yeah. I've told. You know, Gunnar doesn't. He loves his mommy, and Mikey. I'm just like, look, we can't make fun of mommy. We support her. She's already gonna be grouchy. She's gonna be on this fucking diet. When she started getting sad trying on clothes, is like what really really hit her, and that depressed me too because I was like, I don't want you to be sad. You know, just being yourself.
Yeah.
So that's not you. If you look at yourself and you're not happy, then that's not you. Let's do whatever it is you need to do. And it's you know, and but in all honesty. This diet's like Avon, you know what I mean? It's just other housewives and shit sell it, and then you go to this website and you get this Tupperware. Mm-hmm. It's a Tupperware party, and the Tupperware is meant, you know, for portion control and all that sort of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And
it comes with its own stuff, huh?
Yeah, yeah. All right. And then you have a DVD with the workout stuff, and you know, a diet plan and an app, right?
We have to have an app,
and it's a fad diet, but you know what? I'm just like.
it's gonna work. I truly believe all the fad diets work.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, but,
well,
I mean, really, the Atkins diet.
But my issue is that it's called the 21-day diet.
Yeah.
What happens on day 22?
You keep going, and by that point, like, so from what it is, like a cleanse or, you know, something because of all the, like, you know, it's just like what you do. It's just you're constantly eating.
Yeah.
Right? Small portions and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So it brings the dad's cornered question because right now the kids are fine. The kids have a good metabolism. They're kind of eating junky, but now that Andy's, you know, putting more, like, healthier things in our menu, you could tell that they're going to get healthier too, even in a smaller degree, because they work out all day by playing.
Yeah.
Right?
They got the metabolisms of like a 10-year-old.
Yeah, exactly, because they're 9. Yeah. So it brings my podcast question. When did you realize that you...
Oh, Siri went up to you.
Oh, is that Stephen Hawkins? Yo, man, the guy won an Oscar for playing Stephen Hawkins. I think he had the voice down.
Yeah.
So that brings up
Red Man,
the podcast, the Dad's Cornered question is, when did you realize you're out of shape? And I know it's kind of like, wow, that just assumes everyone's out of shape. Fucking everyone.
A lot of people are out of shape. Unless Chris Mata was here.
Yeah. But I'm sure he realized at one point.
At some point he was out of shape.
That he was out of shape. So it's going to be me, 10 years old. 10 years old is when I have been able, I can still wear the clothes that I wore at 10 because I was a really, really fat kid. And
bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you. Those are fat coughs.
It was a fat guy sneeze.
Yeah, fat guy.
Where you kind of like, you fart and sneeze at the same time.
No one else heard it
and
over
you,
the sneeze.
And you go, suffer every time you sneeze. That's how fat you are. That's how I realized I was fat. You're like,
it's horrible when you sneeze and people check on you.
Or it's bad when
you're okay.
Like, the only time you sneeze is when you're shitting. That's fat guy stuff. If I and then you're wiping your brow and, you know, fucking eating chocolate. And so, yeah, 10 years old, gut hanging over the Umbros, you know what I mean? Chafing, getting rosies, you know, wearing adult clothes, my uncle's clothes being too small for me. Which was a really kind of hard-hitting thing.
Wow, yeah, okay.
And I was like, wow. Before, you know, 9 and 10 are huge differences for me because I became a fucking fat kid. I don't know what the fuck happened that summer, but I was a giant kid. And then it from that point on, I've been a size 36. You know, even when I got skinnier in high school. You know,
but you stretched out,
but yeah. I was like, I can still wear these pants. So 10 years old, 10 years my old. Penguin shirt, extra large, Batman Returns. I could still fucking wear it.
Yeah, hell yeah. You know, like
such a depressing topic.
Yeah,
whoever's next.
Early 20s. I remember it was before, like a couple of years before we started CAG. I was working Diamond Shamrock, and the routine, if you will, the dinner routine, because the shift started at 6, it's 6 to like midnight, so somewhere between there, like dinner or whatever would have to happen, but dinner was just convenience store hot dogs, and then they had, I don't think they have them anymore, I haven't seen them anywhere, but they had Parrot Ice.
Yeah, okay. Parrot Ice.
Which is basically like slush. It's like
like Paradise, but Parrot Ice.
Parrot Ice, yes. Yeah. They use the same machines now to make like essentially like pina colada, strawberry daiquiri. It's basically that, but without the alcohol. But they had those.
You guys remember Slush Puppies?
It's a play on words.
Slush Puppies.
Slush puppies were the bomb.
Slush Puppies were the bomb. And those are still around.
Where's the Slush Puppy?
It's been a while.
You could squirt your own juice.
Anyway,
okay.
Yeah. So Paradise was real fruit. Real. And so we had the 64-ounce mug from Diamond Shamrock, which is a gas station. Three quarters of that Paradise, the other quarter of that was pure soda, so it was like a Coke Paradise mixture of fucking goddamn hot dogs, sausage dogs.
Did you do the jalapeno dogs?
Yeah, jalapeno dogs, pork rinds.
Did you pay for them?
Pork rinds.
Yeah, of course I paid for them. Nice. No, the dogs were like, if they were expired, you write them off.
Nice.
Yeah.
Free hot dogs.
See, now you go in the shift and those dogs are rolling there. It's time to like put the new dogs in. Then it'd be like a night. Oh, dinner's ready for me. Just rolling around, rolling on the curb. Just
They got it ready for me, right?
Dinner's waiting. Yeah. Dinner's waiting.
And the shit was when we actually home. Got, when we got egg rolls in.
Ooh.
So we started to have egg rolls. So this was there ever a time where rolling on this fucking
where someone was gonna eat them? He went, no, those are bad. Those are bad.
Let me put some new ones on.
Let me put some new ones on. Give me a second.
Those are bad. Don't touch those. Leave those on for another hour so then I can eat them.
Yeah. Try the pizza. The pizza's good.
So I got like I've always been heavy, but I felt brutally heavy when it was one of those things to where doing small tasks winded me. Like you had to go outside, you had to like sweep there, and that was like it actually was effort. Like that's when I realized I was out of shape, is when it was doing something as simple as like sweeping outside, like sweeping a sidewalk. I just felt like it was a chore. Like I don't want to do this. Like, that is when I knew, like, it had to stop. And that was, like still to this day, I'll drink soda, but nothing compared to, like, the way I drank soda in Paradise. And, like, it was, like, just IV, like, sugar.
Liquid
you know?
Sugar.
Liquid sugar. And so, like, since the time of dropping that, that was, like, the biggest thing, like, to this day. Like, I'll eat the worst shit, but soda is something I just don't do. I'll drink a soda, but not like I can't do lots and lots of fucking soda. I just can't. I'll have a can of soda and that's good for me. So I think that's when I know there has to be a change to where I'm not physically able to do small stuff. I mean, I'm heavy, but I always kind of keep it to where I can still function and do stuff and like never feel winded. And that's like that. If I start to feel winded by doing simple shit, then I know that there has to be a change. And I flip-flop a lot. Like, I was like, okay, I have to make this change. I have to do better. And I've, you know, rubber band weight type of thing. But I'll never get to that point where I'm like, oh, sweeping a fucking sidewalk, it wins me. Win. So, yeah.
I as far as being out of shape, I've been fat pretty much my whole life. So, but I played baseball and I was in sports and stuff. So, to me, I was just slow. Like, I wasn't out of shape. I was just slow. I was fat and slow. As long as I could play a pickup game of basketball, a pickup game of football in the streets, as long as I could play something with everybody, I never felt that I was out of shape.
But so you could never play a pickup game of basketball.
Yeah, I just suck at it. I'm just not good.
Eighth grade girl. Fucking
exactly.
All-star,
I'm not
dude.
Good at it, but I can run up and down. I would play with a guy. Like, I would play. It's just I wouldn't exactly get winded or anything, but the first time I really felt like, oh man, I'm in bad shape was when I moved to Colorado. So Colorado,
oh, yeah, okay.
I was at my heaviest at that time, and so that didn't help. Also, it didn't help that it was thin air in Colorado, so the air is thin up there, which makes it just harder to do anything. It was the first like week we had moved out there, and we were simply throwing the frisbee out at this park, and I realized just walking around trying to get the frisbee, I was like huffing and puffing, and it hit me, like realizing I looked at myself and I was like, Regan, you're huffing and puffing playing frisbee. Like, that's bad. Like, that's really bad.
But you're also at your thinnest then, too, right?
No, but that's when I first got there. Right. So then that was – it's funny, that realization, that like, holy crap. When I was in Colorado, I realized everyone's active. Everyone's outdoors. They're all hiking and climbing and freaking biking and kayaking and skiing. Everyone does freaking stuff. And I was like, oh, dude, this has got to change. And that's why I started working out like every day in the little gym in the apartment complex. And I dropped like 60 pounds like in 6 months because I realized like you're out of shape and you're not going to be able to do anything fun in Colorado unless you get in shape. And so that was definitely when it hit me, like, big time.
Interesting.
Lawrence.
He's never been out of shape.
I'm out of shape as we speak.
But when did you realize?
Listening to you talk about all that made me tired. I think it was moving, for sure.
Yeah?
Cause, to LA?
Yeah, because it really is. It's a place of people that are always doing things. Like, yeah. They're either jogging, they're riding their bikes, people are going hiking. Like, it's a thing. People do it a lot there.
Because the weather's beautiful and you should.
Of course. Yeah. You're always out. But for what I do, I don't have a lot of time to do so. And it's not really an excuse because I've thought about it. I'm like, I should be able to wake up early, go running and stuff. But when I do get home from set, it's like I want to relax. And yeah. I relax my own way. You know, I watch, put on a movie and then, you know, you hang out with friends, do whatever I need to do.
it never really comes into play where I'm like, I should do a couple push-ups right now.
But your job, you're on your feet all the time. You're active.
Yeah, like
for sure.
I'm not at my heaviest, but I'm definitely not at my high school weight where I was pretty thin.
Yeah.
But for sure, walking upstairs to like a shop to get something from upstairs and then coming back down, I was just like, it's bad. And I know, and I stopped smoking cigarettes. So,
oh, wow. All right.
And that's been a very long time since I've like chain smoked cigarettes. Yeah. So that's helped a lot. I don't wake up, you know, in the middle of the night, like grabbing my chest going,
Did that happen?
Yeah, dude. Like I've smoked so many cigarettes that I would get sick at night. I just like start coughing and trying to cough up phlegm.
Holy God.
It was gross. And I stopped smoking. I mean, it's not a huge thing. We've talked about this before. I smoke weed, whatever.
Oh, it's legal.
It's legal where I'm at. And it helps me go to sleep and whatnot, whatever. But it really is kind of a good thing and kind of a bad thing because I'll smoke and then just be like, man, I'm so hungry right now. Yeah. And I'll just eat like shit.
Yeah.
And it's bad because there's no, in your head at that time, there's no repercussions. You're just like, I feel good. I'm going to, you know, do whatever.
Yeah.
But I still think that I could be healthier. I'm not at all. I'm a stocky dude. I'm never going to lose these shoulders. Like,
yeah.
I'm just a big dude.
Yeah, lose that shit. Yeah.
Don't you ever lose those shoulders,
lose
baby.
Those shoulders, man.
Curd to curd. But yeah, I'm sure I can lose more weight. I want to. It's just really hard to start.
Durable.
I call it my fighting weight.
My fighting weight.
My fighting weight is where I'm at right now. I'd like to lose more weight, but I'm very comfortable. I can maintain it easy, and it's not
You look great.
And that's thank you. That's my fighting weight, so.
As few, Larry.
Fuck, man.
All right, Facebook answers. When did our listeners realize they're out of shape?
Just wearing this shirt called Long Tang, and it's fucking barbecue shirt. Like, it's just sweatpants, and his shirt says Long Tang.
I will say that I am jealous, supremely jealous of Larry's beard, though. It hasn't been this big.
It's
the last
good.
Time. I've got beard envy for sure.
This
is all I grow, and it's gross.
We're going to be hosting BeardCon April 4th at the 502 bar.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Is that a plug over there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Facebook answers. Jordan Cobb says, when filming a movie, I felt a bit winded when I readjusted from floodlights to help fill out an interview scene. So simply just moving lights.
That's a stretch. You got to stretch high to do that. And then,
Carlos Castro says, I lived in San Antonio for 4 years. Tom's Ribs knew me by name. I knew I needed to cut back. The Golden Phoenix did not help.
Golden Phoenix, man.
Yeah, go for the food, stay for the booty. Alfred Pettis says, when my appendix scar went from facing out to facing down to the floor and then eventually back at me. Wow.
Wow.
That's kind of scary. Brandon Dunnigan says, when I found cellulite on my calves, now I understand why Hillary wears pantsuits.
Yeah.
Anthony Torino says, when someone mistook me for Larry Garza. Hey-o.
Oh, shit.
Ouch.
That's crazy, you fucking asshole. It's not like he's going to listen to this podcast anyway, you fucking racist.
Oh. Gregory Pierce says, the three-piece suit slowly becoming unusable over time.
You're going to get resized at fucking Men's Warehouse. You're going to love it in an instant.
Here's Chris Mata. He chimes in saying, I get the feelings for you guys. It's every time I do the podcast.
Oh,
he's 100% fucking right. Yeah, nope. He's absolutely right.
I see Chris. He's an Adonis. And then I see how unhappy he is when he eats. And he's like, oh, dude, I went on this hike and I was so tired.
That isn't no.
And I laid in bed. I was in so much pain. It was great. You're not happy, you fuck.
He's really happy.
Samantha Lyons. I'm going to get Whataburger on the way home.
Yeah.
I haven't had it in so long.
It's right there.
It's right there.
I'll give you a thick and hearty.
Yeah. Samantha Lyons Rake says, when I could steer the car with my boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you elaborate on that?
There's a website for that.
Shaggy from Puto Slam says, about 2 hours after I drank the Kool-Aid at that co-op party, I looked in the mirror and realized I was an amoeba. Correct. He was out of shape. He was in a boob. Tommy Munoz says, second grade.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, that's all it says. Right. You realized in second grade he was out of shape.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
Remember when he fell down and his gym coach slapped his belly?
Whoa,
you remember that story?
No.
That was sad.
That was pretty
great
brutal.
Story.
That was fucking brutal.
Judson Cooper says, I noticed I was out of shape when I was winded after climbing stairs or running after ice cream trucks. It hurt me when someone said, I didn't recognize you. Have you put on weight since I saw you last?
Oh man. Who says that?
People say that and they're Anthony fucking Tarina. Stupid.
Yeah.
Like they have no filter.
Stairs should wind everybody. Stairs are bad.
I know I'm doing good is when I can
when you
do
go
stairs,
upstairs and
I'm like,
and then they're like, no problem.
See,
yeah,
that's all right.
Stairs.
I did 108 flights today.
Nice.
100 floors. No, on the machine.
Oh.
That's my record. Anyway, Judson Cooper. Ryan Timothy.
You fucked a machine?
Sorry. Ryan Timothy Brace RTB says, when I was having a hard time finding pants I liked in a 48 and shirts and jackets that I liked were 3XL. But hey, that's what being 315 pounds will get you.
Good
He's
answer.
239 pounds now. Hell yeah, RTB.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Yeah, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Thank you for presents.
Yeah. Hell yeah, Ryan.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome. That's like what I did. That's almost exactly what I did.
Good job.
Andy Salinas Garza says, when I went to the gyno for my yearly exam, and the nurse, I assumed I was pregnant.
Oh, no!
She told me my belly was adorable and I had a nice glow. Ouch.
Oh, yeah. And she farted on her hand.
Yeah, she was. Hey, y'all. She wasn't pregnant.
Why not, bro? Why not, bro?
Why aren't you working that, bro? She's pretty.
No, I know she's pretty, dude.
You should lock it down, bro.
But she's prettier glazed. If
she's
you know what
fine.
I mean.
Oh, man.
She's
come on.
Fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
Travis K. Travis K. Says, the day I realized I had stretch marks and my man pecs turned into man cans. I'm definitely working on getting that reversed, though. Albert Preciado says, when I was six, when other kids were like, hey, let's play tag, I was like, hey, let's not.
I'm in. You know, that's the thing whenever you want to be it, so you don't have to really run after anybody.
Yeah,
you're just like, I'm in.
From you and
I'm a zombie. That's why I'm moving so slow. I'll get you eventually.
And finally, Stacey Medina says, every time I go for a jog and become winded after 2 minutes, and then when my jeans split up the thigh when I squat down at work. Ouch.
Oh, man. But that happens to anybody.
What'd you say? Half the reactions to these answers is like, yeah.
Yeah, you know, when it's women, it's like, I knew I was big when my butt, you know, tore off my pant.
Yeah. When I could steer the car with my butt.
Yeah.
Virgin lane, girl.
Yeah.
So kids and stuff? Or
yeah,
what?
Man. So parenting, man.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
44 ounce rested on my tummy.
Yeah, man. Suck hards, man. Fuck it. So, Regan, anal sex.
Are we good?
Yeah.
All right. This edition is not about anal sex.
It's like
you were
anal sex.
Oh, yeah.
You look like a dirty Rasputin right now.
Like I am, dude.
Asputin.
Oh, Asputin. He tried to fuck him 5 times. He didn't die.
Yeah. Oh, stop.
And then he's like, come. And then she goes, okay, shit your dick out.
Shit your dick out. It's like an old Studebaker backfire.
I didn't think this belonged to you.
Yeah.
Come fart.
What the hell's going on?
That's all right.
Here you go.
That's not funny.
This edition of Hey, That's Not Funny, where I talk about all sorts of stuff, science, technology, psychology, comes from University of Rochester, a study where they found that watching and discussing movies about relationships is as effective in lowering the divorce rate as other more intense early marriage counseling. So what they did was they had 174 couples that they had involved in the study where they actually showed a lot of different movies, that a lot of them are romantic comedies. That Fools Rush In with Matthew Perry was one of them. Who's Coming to Denver, Husbands and Wives, Indecent Proposal, Jungle Fever, Love Jones, Love Story, all of these different love movies. And they had the couples watch them, talk about them, and just simply doing this over those 174 couples cut the divorce rate in half. It was as effective as freaking straight up marriage counseling. So it's a it's a really cool study. It just goes to show you that, like, there's other ways of, I mean, I guess you're the only one married here. But you should watch movies, man. You can watch movies if you're having.
Yeah, let's talk over. Better.
Yeah,
talk them over.
Sound 3 was really good.
But have you watched Jungle Fever together?
No, we watched Gone Girl.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Have you watched Mississippi Masala?
No, we've had Chicken Marsala.
Ooh, have you watched She's Having a Baby starring Kevin Bacon and Elizabeth McGovern?
No, we saw Fighting Fist Fucks 4.
What about
and she had a baby.
What about, and I don't know why this isn't here, Devil's Advocate with Keanu Reeves and Al Pacino is one of the movies they had.
That has a very good married dynamic.
Oh, you know, you're right. You're
Charlize Theron.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man, her, that short hair. I hate it because every time that scene before she kills herself, that's where I think she's the hottest in that movie.
Oh, I haven't seen
with
it.
With all the cuts all over her body.
Thanks a lot. No. It was when she, I'm sorry, Lauren. The movie's like fucking 15-20 year old
no
movie,
but they do a redo and she makes potato salad for the black family and Samuel Jackson is all like thanks.
What
so it says
it's time to kill. Oh. That's Ashley Judd
discussing
she fucks Ben Affleck and then,
oh that's the guess
and fucking Jolie's husband's like
Brad Pitt
the other husband
Samuel Jackson.
Anyway, so the
real husband,
for real husband.
The
oh,
study,
Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
What's happening? Yeah, I know. It says,
God,
watching.
Kid, what you gonna do with that fucking thing right there?
Nice.
That's not Billy Bob Thornton.
Good, well, I mean, I figure you would do an impression of him since you hung out with him so much.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never hung out with him.
Oh well, he's gonna live a long, happy life.
They're just saying that it's hard for couples to discuss their own relationship, but after watching a particular movie and discussing it and kind of drawing, you know, comparisons to there, it's much easier for them to bring up different issues.
And all those movies did have some kind of marriage dynamic, or were these random movies?
No, they all have to do with some sort of.
Because you mentioned Devil's Advocate, and that's a very.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but you're
Jungle
Fever.
Huge aspect of that movie.
So, yeah, there's intimate relationships as a major plot focus in all 47
like
of those
you've got
movies.
Mail?
No, that's not one of them.
What about Devil's Rejects?
No.
The Ugly Truth.
Untamed Heart, starring Christian Slater and Marissa Tomei.
Yeah, I love that movie. Marissa Tomei and panties, dude.
Blue Velvet.
No.
Blue Valentine, sorry.
No, there's a bunch of old ones, too.
Casablanca.
9 months. With Hugh Grant and Julianne Moore, we all love that one.
Okay,
on Golden Pond, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it talks about sort of like the healing emotional factors that movies can have and how they can actually help relationships, especially marriages. Which brought me to my topic, which was what movie can always turn you around and make you feel better. What is a feel good movie that you can always turn to make you feel good no matter what you're doing? So you don't have to be in a marriage or a relationship. This is just a movie that makes you feel good. So I'm going to start. I'm sure maybe other people put more than one. I'm just going to throw two out there. First is Swingers. It's just, it holds a near and dear special place in my heart. It's one of those sensory recall things to where when I think about when I first watched it back in the late 90s and when I lived with my buddies in Colorado, we'd watch that all the time. And it was just such a great movie. Brings back lots of great memories, and it's just it's a good fun movie. I try to watch it at least once a year, just because it makes me feel good. Second one, Big Lebowski.
Oh,
absolutely. I swear, I've seen that movie. You know, in all honesty, probably I'd say like 40 times I've seen that movie. Every single time, I find something new. I find something funny. It's there's always a sense of novelty when I watch it, and I love it. I love that movie so much because every time I'm like, you know what? I didn't notice that he did that last time.
Yeah.
Or something will come. Like, it's a movie that I can appreciate every single time that I watch it. It's funny. It's hilarious. It's absolutely just such a great movie. So for me, Swingers and Big Lebowski, absolutely two feel good movies that I can always turn to no matter what to make me feel better.
Yeah,
that's really
for
awesome.
The exact same reason. Watch it multiple times, catch things. Things are different, funny. Revenge of the Nerds for me.
Really?
Is
God bless. Yes,
all time one of top comedy. But it's I can watch that if it's on cable, on DVD. You know, obviously it's better.
They're
you know, uncensored.
The first one is the one where they go to that hotel where that lady's. Is that the first one?
No, that's Nerds in Paradise.
Stuck in my head
with Barry Sobel.
Yes,
no one 15. But the first one, it's beautiful because the second one, you know, had a higher budget. You know what I mean? There's weird plot points that kind of tried to remake what the original was. But the original was just, it was such a tried and true victory. It had a happy ending. It had tits.
Yeah. You know, little guy versus the big guy.
Yeah. And just.
That was the pie eating movie.
It had Bush.
Yes. I love that movie.
It had Bush.
Thank you.
Right. But it was quotable. It's one of the most quotable movies. And if I can get Tutu, Back to School. I can watch Back to School. Yeah. We watched it for my birthday that one year.
Yeah, practically back to back.
You know, those two guys are Back to School.
With Rodney Dangerfield.
Yes, yes. I was thinking about something else. Also, a movie you would also love is the Summer School.
Summer School. Oh, you saw Summer School? Summer School is wonderful.
Dude,
yeah.
Summer School is pretty rad. But yes, Back to School is awesome.
Yeah, it's quotable.
Young Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, young Robert Downey Jr. Fucking, I love Back to School. Those two movies, I can quote beginning to end, feel-good movies is 80s. You know, they don't really make movies like that anymore. I know I feel like an old guy saying that. But those two movies, I can watch anytime, any day, and I'll get happy. Small Things, just for my birthday, brought me a Thornton Melon sandwich.
Yeah.
Right? He brought a big, giant piece of bread, some like
meatballs. Chicken fingers.
If I get Back to School anytime.
Yeah. Flunk me, flunk him. Infinite. Yeah, just
I'd like to tame your shrew.
Yeah, god damn it. Like a fucking
no.
Like a farmer holds his land sacred. Like a
hey,
pastor
Kurt,
holds.
Hey,
his
Kurt Vonnegut, do you read lips? Fuck you. Yeah. Makes me laugh every time.
It's fucking amazing.
Obviously,
the Ronnie bad stunt double.
Yes, but when he does that triple indie,
triple indie.
Oh man, that's that always stuck with me as a kid. I was just like. Is that real? Can they actually do that?
And then it's so just cool. Another dude.
Yeah, it's obviously. I like when they close up and he's just like, like his eyes are huge and bulging.
Yeah,
so good.
Back fucking to awesome.
That's mine.
Mine is one of my favorite movies of all time. If anyone knows my email address, it's myneighborjess@gmail.com. One of my favorite movies of all time is My Neighbor Totoro, and that movie always is uplifting. It is arguably one of the most adorable things. Ever, period. Because, and also the thing about it is, it's one of those movies that it has very little conflict. It is just simply a movie of just imagination and wonder. There's no message. There's no really anything to do but to sit back and enjoy it. And it's, you know, if anyone has not seen it, they should find it and see
it.
It's a wonderful movie. It's about two girls like in the late 50s, and they move with their father to a farmhouse, and they basically absorb and look into nature, and then they see these creatures called Totoros, and they're just big, fluffy cat creatures that they hang out with. That's the movie. What's that movie about? It's about two girls hanging out with fucking cat creatures. That don't have giant nuts. It is
the squirrels.
Oh, right. Yeah, right, Pompoko. Right. Absolutely fucking 100% wholesome. There's only minor conflict. There's a part where one of the girls gets sad and gets lost, but then the fucking Totoro finds her. It's a fucking wholesome movie. It's so fucking good. It makes me feel good in there. Hayao Miyazaki. It's one of
A lifetime achievement Oscar.
Yeah,
he did get a lifetime achievement Oscar.
I don't know why.
Got a lot of hits in his belt, particularly Spirited Away.
For Spirited Away.
The movie with the smoking frog. Good movie. But it is the face of basically, like, Totoro is literally the face of all of his movies. And
you're saying Toblerone?
Toblerone,
my neighbor Toblerone.
My brother Toblerone.
Speaking
it's
of
so
chocolate.
Good.
So got a good. Huge boner. any of those movies mentioned for those also bring smiles on my face. Those are good. Those
what
are good movies.
What you called
there.
Your boner? Oh, Toblerone's out.
Check it out. Here's a Toblerone.
Toblerone. Oh, fucking triangle spag. It's
Ricola.
Long, chocolatey, and full of segments. And
it's fucking covered in foil.
Trapped in foil, yeah.
Toblerone. You know, the government.
Triangle
puts
shape.
Foil on it because of the government.
Yeah.
They're reading his thoughts.
Can't read my dick's thoughts. But Dick don't want his thoughts being read.
You don't like that stuff.
Yeah. I don't want everyone to know my dick loves ugly chicks.
I don't. I'm just saying.
Jess's dick, yeah.
Mine are.
Okay.
Oh, were you done? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I picked one.
You're like, I got a fuck.
There's a whole shitload of them, but yeah, I picked
one. No, yeah, there's. Yeah. I think that's a true thing. There's not just one.
Yeah, yeah,
it's really tough. If I could say, you know, Big Lebowski was my first pick.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, for sure. It's always been a huge part of my life, like since growing up. It was always just, that was the movie I loved watching because it was just so fucking funny.
It's brilliant.
Even at a younger age when I saw it to be the first time out.
And maybe that's what it is that as you grow older, you notice different things.
Yeah, all the Reagan stuff.
Anyway, was there another one?
Super Troopers.
Ah, okay.
Really? I can watch Super Troopers whenever. Any point it starts in the movie, I can watch it and still.
That's so funny. I didn't know you were an asshole.
Oh, shit.
I like Super Troopers. I'm just kidding.
No, it's weird because that's one of those movies I like almost do not like.
Really?
I do not like.
It's that not movie. Funny.
It's not funny to me. I remember
enough. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Nice.
I can literally.
Yeah,
it's such a good movie. My favorite line from that whole thing that always makes me smile whenever I just think about it. What do I do that bothers you so much? John Candy just replies with, "You play with your balls a lot." He's like, "What? You play with your balls a lot? You do more ball handling than Larry Bird." He's like, "What? I see you fiddling around in there. You play with your balls a lot." He's like, "That bothers me."
He's like, just like balls related.
That's just so funny because he's like looking at him like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" And Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Always a good.
Yeah. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? That's fucking amazing.
Because you can literally watch that whenever, and the music's amazing.
Yeah,
the visuals are amazing. Storyline's great, and the acting's great. So
yeah.
Everything feels great about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and it gets the ending. And that, not discrediting it, it's one of my favorites. But the ending's so
sad.
Sad. Like when they narrow down to like he's just a drifter. He has no home.
Yeah, because his wife had just passed.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Gets me. I think that gets me every time.
That's what makes it a good movie, though.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Because you hated this character for so long throughout the whole movie. They had to do something for you to love John Candy at the end and not leave him as a jerk. And he did it. And it's so good.
Yeah. Did you meet John Candy?
No, wish. That would have been awesome.
I was figuring that might have been why.
Ghostbusters. Ooh, Ghostbusters is a good one, too. Fuck, there's so many.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool
movies.
Happy movies.
Make you feel good.
Yeah. Well, let's see what Facebook people had to say.
Yep.
Jordan Cobb says, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
All right.
Funny movie, sharp script, brilliant voice acting, just fantastic.
Yeah, fucking gives me hungry.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, I like the food.
so hungry.
Samson Portillo says, Oh Brother, We're Out Though.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Blues Brothers.
Yes.
Samson Portillo.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is, but cool.
You'd love him.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's quicker than Wikipedia.
He made
for
me that
comics.
X-Men Colossus collage.
Really?
Yes.
Way to go, dude.
Damn straight.
Looks awesome.
He also says Blues Brothers and Iron Giant.
Damn good.
Iron Giant.
Mindy Star says 16 Candles, Stand By Me, and always Hot Fuzz.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead.
That is one of them.
That's
Fuck,
definitely
Shaun
one
of the
them.
Dead.
Anthony Torino says It's a Wonderful Life and The Notebook. It's a Wonderful Life. That's like the feel good movie,
you
right?
I saw it in a theater, you old faggot.
God. Gee whiz.
Man. He was mad because he's like called you fat in so many words.
Carlos Castro says Fight Club. It reminds me that I'm a fighter and I'm not made of glass.
Fuck, dude.
What an answer.
And then he stabbed someone after he did that.
Probably did.
With his fist.
Gregory Pierce says historically, Back to the Future. Recently, Pacific Rim.
Oh yeah,
I
fuck yeah,
that's a fun movie.
I can watch it. Yeah, that's on anytime. I get a bonus.
Gunner loves.
Yeah,
Brandy Dunnigan says Empire Records.
Ooh, I liked Empire.
Alfred Perez says Citizen Kane is my ultra jam, but one crazy summer, which I love.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a very good. Japanese Godzilla from 1954 or Frailty. Can work too. Interesting. Frailty. That's a
make you feel good.
Taxi. I was gonna say Citizen Kane.
Yeah, make you feel good.
Feel good.
Yeah, I'm God's arm, son.
Yeah.
Chris Mata says Wolf of Wall Street. You call these $100 bills? I call them fun coupons.
Fine. Yeah, I think Lisa has that restaurant scene where the sell me this pin scene. That's like in her rotation.
Really?
She loves. She doesn't watch Walking Dead, but she loves the actor's name.
John Barrowman.
She's like,
he's awesome.
She's like, where's this
he's
guy from?
So
I was like,
good.
He's in Walking Dead and fucking
he's
left a
so
massive
good.
Impression and he's an awesome man.
And then Furry, the song, or that movie about Tank.
I do one Shane impression.
Let me hear it.
No, it's not like it's a visual.
Let me hear your Shane visual impression.
More. It's more of a, like, you have to say Shane really quick. Ready?
All right, okay, do it.
Oh, wait, I have to stand up for it, though.
Okay. What the
fuck? Sorry.
Go outside. Shane!
Yes.
You can't see it.
That's
just Robert De Niro.
Yeah. That's actually pretty good. No. I got it. Yeah. Yeah, you got it. Yeah. There it is. Yeah, there it is.
Well, I mean, you do a great impression because you were on set that whole time.
Oh, yeah, with Shane.
With, yeah.
I just like when he goes, your son's broken. Your wife doesn't want you. Come on, Rick.
Why don't you bring your sister around? Let her see me sometime. Let her see this. Yeah.
And then, like, hey,
hey, we
Drea.
Got chicken ma.
That's so great.
We got chicken ma. You got chicken ma.
God, that's ma. Great. That was really good. Dino Fox says Connie and Carla.
Anybody I've never heard of that.
No, I don't know. Ryan RTB, Ryan Timothy braces Back to the Future and Snatch. Snatch is
ooh,
a good one.
Yeah, Snatch is fun.
Snatch is good.
Snatch make, yeah, that feels good.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Yeah, that's. I need to watch that again. Andy Salinas Garza says.
That's not where he was going.
That was Oasis.
Andy Salinas Garza says.
I put this game on you, motherfucker.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My giggles are nonstop with that movie. Yeah. Shaggy from Puto Slam says, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Nice.
Too much. Too much. You took too much. Took too much. Tommy Munoz says, Naked Gun.
Oh, yeah.
Rico Palazzo.
That's fucking, a classic. Susie Hamilton says, Get Him to the Greek.
Right on.
Interesting.
That was good. Yeah. Okay. I like Maggie Castillo-Ivan says, besides The Wizard of Oz, I have several go-to movies. Oh, Brother, We're Out There.
Yeah.
Pitch Perfect. Hell yeah.
Shut up.
And All About Eve. I'm all about Pitch Perfect.
Yeah. There's a lot of Oh, Brother, excited about We're Out There.
No,
that
I'm
movie.
Not.
That's wonderful.
I just don't want to. I don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't need it. Yeah.
Although, what's his name's in it?
Adam.
God damn it, no,
Adam Levine.
Mr.
Ted
Show,
Levine.
No, Scott.
Oh, David Cross.
David Cross is
totally
in it.
Cross is in it.
Yes, he plays like a He plays like the MC.
He's also in the Chipmunks movies.
He is in the Chipmunks. He's a working actor. Anyway, Judson Cooper says top three contenders are Where the Buffalo Roam, Pink Floyd, Live at Pompeii, and Tommy Boy. Tommy Boy.
Black Sheep, though.
No, it's okay. But Tommy Boy, it's
Tommy Boy's great. Yeah. No, it is.
Samantha Lyons Rake says Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Crystal Hernandez Railer says Help, the Beatles movie. Brandon Railer says Jurassic Park.
Lord Darn Booty, dude.
Jurassic Park is great.
There are dinosaurs.
And Duchesne doing dinosaurs.
Are those dinosaurs, Rick?
Those dinosaurs.
And then I'll be Rick.
Yeah, those are dinosaurs, Shane.
Are you sure for your dinosaur park?
These are dinosaurs. They're walking.
Man.
We're walking dinosaurs.
We are.
Have you seen that movie Walking with the Dinosaurs?
That's this movie.
We are walking with them. All right, Travis K. Put your hands where I can see them.
Carl. My favorite
your
one.
Your mother fucked Shane. Don't say nothing to nobody. The phone's ringing. Hello, it's Andrew Lincoln, nurse.
I don't know what that is.
That's going to be the beginning of a gorilla song in 15 years.
Nice. Travis K says Animal House.
Ooh. Oh,
okay.
Right. Blues Brothers. Kung Fu Hustle. Yes. I could watch the hell out of
you know what? Yes. Yeah.
Kung Fu Hustle, yeah. Dude. That's a feel-good effing movie.
He's a John Landis fan, apparently.
And anything from the Cornetto Three Flavors trilogy. Yeah.
I just found out that there was a budget for cocaine on the Blues Brothers
production. Makes sense to me. They're in love with the coco.
Yeah, they are in love with the coco.
Albert Preciado says, The Fifth Element. I like Fifth Element. That's a good one. Negative. I am a meat popsicle. Ross Carter says, D2, The Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, which is stupid song that you
I forgot
like.
One.
What?
Keep going.
Okay, and finally, Stacey Medina says, Easy A, Bridesmaids and Pitch Perfect.
Those are all nice. Those are nice.
Good. Bridesmaids, definitely.
Anybody remember Disney's Heavyweights?
Yes.
That was my movie for the longest time that I would just watch and watch and watch.
I could never watch that movie because it was a fat kid movie.
I know. That's why I watched it.
I didn't want to watch it because it was like anytime you watch a fat kid movie, it's like, you're a fat kid watching a fat kid movie, right, fat kid?
We had older brothers.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. That's all I would hear in my brain is my brother saying that.
Which one is Heavyweights, though? I'm forgetting. Is that the soccer movie?
No, that's Ladybugs. Fat kid camp and Ben Stiller's the...
Which is the soccer movie with the fat kid from Sandlot?
With the Great Hambino?
Soccer movie?
No, that's the big... I know what you're talking about.
Okay,
Big Green.
But that's not
Big Green. Thank
big
you.
Green.
Big
okay, Green. Cool. All right.
But no, yeah, Heavyweights was a... It was one of my is one of my favorite movies.
I don't know if I've ever seen it because it's in my brain as a fat kid movie.
If you've watched Heavyweights, you know Body System. Body! No, no, nothing? No. Oh, man, it's
just like, what do you call it? Nutty Professor. I always hated watching that movie. It's a fat guy movie.
It's a fat guy movie.
It's a fat guy movie.
Buddy Love.
Yeah,
it's Buddy turns into Donkey from Shrek. It's basically all it is. Watch Naughty Professor and then like close your eyes and just picture Donkey from Shrek.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck, dude.
My mouth is open and everything.
You can smell it.
So if you're a married couple and you're on the rocks, watch some movies. Some movies.
There's a whole list of movies on there.
Hold each other. And watch a movie.
Because divorce, man, it's not funny.
And then fuck.
Well, I don't know, man. Divorce can be pretty fucking funny sometimes. No. Yeah.
I'll tell you what is funny. The hilarious movie Fools Rush In, starring Matthew Perry.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
That movie is a great fucking movie.
You love you some Salma Hayek.
Fuck. And that movie is Specially.
Oh,
I thought you said fuck that movie.
No, dude. Fools Rush In with Salma Hayek, dude. With Salma Hayek.
I'm a big fan of Salma Hayek.
That's all right, dude.
Put a picture of Ronald Rogie.
Ronald Rogie.
The guy from University of Rochester.
He's one of the guys in the new Walking Dead episode.
I just like his face.
Hey, Ronald Rogie. I know you didn't. You're an outlander.
Carl, get inside.
Michonne. Put down your sword and give me that chocolate muff.
I don't know. Do I have a student who's...
Do you watch Walking Dead, sir?
Let me show you my impression of Rick, sir. There's my impression of Rick. Okay. Hey, Carl.
We're the Walking Dead.
So, as you know, Lawrence, you've been a guest multiple times on Public
Access. How many times have I been on here?
This is the third
as a full-blown host. Fourth.
Yeah, you've been on four, technically.
How many? Who's got the highest? Is it Brant, probably?
Probably no, Brant's been on.
No, White Cotton.
Jay White Cotton, I think. White Cotton.
Sure. White Cotton's like at six. Because Brant's never guest hosted. White Cotton's guest hosted. It's, I think, White Cotton. But... you know, this is an educational program, you know, and we ask our guests and we ask ourselves, what did we come to know being here? What made you come to know something new about yourself or maybe others? So, Jess, what made you come to know something?
I've come to know. This is based off the fact that I don't dabble in chocolate often anymore.
Yeah, that's funny. That's my goodness.
But let me tell you something. Chocolate still brings back that loving feeling for me. And you know, chocolate just gets it going. Chocolate, fucking good stuff. I like chocolate. Chocolate's good. But I don't like to do it too much.
Just Viagra.
Yeah, it's a boner medicine. So
take some home. It's okay.
I don't eat chocolate in public. It's embarrassing. True story. This is actually a true story. Don't eat chocolate in public. It's embarrassing.
Why is it embarrassing?
Because it get all fucking loopy and shit. Yeah.
Farty?
And farty.
Ooh. Jess with a hard dick and a loose ass.
Yeah.
When he farts, he goes...
Yeah. He goes... Yeah.
You like this George shirt girl?
I'm in love with the
poo-poo. I'm in love with the poo-poo.
I'm in love with the poo-poo.
Dr. Gaga!
What I learned today is that Lawrence Mercado, if you ever meet him and come into contact with him, you will realize, man, fuck this world.
If you're a famous person.
No one.
Because we've met him. Yeah. We've known him and we're still alive.
I don't know, man. Am I?
So if you're a famous star.
No, you know what? I'm not going to put that evil on you. Yeah, here's what I came to know. That Lawrence is
Murky Merc.
Yeah, Mercado is a big, giant fan of awful hip hop. I didn't know that. I came to know that Lawrence loves him some terrible mainstream hip hop.
Yeah, yo, check out this video.
Worst behavior. Motherfucker never loved us.
Remember?
Motherfucker never loved us. Remember?
Oh, fuck, man.
You come and change with a toothbrush. Remember?
That's the first Drake song I've ever heard, by the way. I have no idea.
Yeah, you're not missing anything.
Yeah. What are you talking about, man? Drizzy. What about you, Ray?
I came to know, all honesty, a lot of these awesome artists. Stephen Gamble, Ralph Steadman.
Yeah.
All these people that they talked about. It's good to know because I think I've seen a lot of them. It's one of those things that just kind of put a. Even the one that I talked about, the Christy Carrasco or whatever.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, put a name to that art.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, now I know. Like, that's who I really like. So I actually came to know many a great artists.
I like it.
What about you, Law?
The same thing. Artists and new movies, actually. Movies that you guys said that were your comfort movies, and I'm really interested to go and look at them. And some that you said that I hadn't seen in a while that I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot about that movie.
Yeah.
So good. That and... learned that I can always come here and have my good friends talk to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You
this is
just
awesome.
Learned that?
Oh.
No, I was reiterating. No, I was reiterating.
Reiterating. Puta.
Hey, dude. Well, Lawrence, we're very happy, dude, that we're one of your stops when you come and visit.
For sure.
We're the world.
The difference is you talk to people. I know this sounds really cheesy, but I've met numerous people that I've worked with and just friends in general that I can say, like, oh, yeah, you know, where are you from? Why did you move here? Same story. Like, oh, I came here for work and whatnot. How is your hometown? Oh, fucking shit. I hate people there. I hate my family. I hated living there. I don't talk to my family anymore.
Jesus.
So it makes me feel really good to be able to be there because I want to be there, not because I moved because I had to. I want to be there. I want to do what I'm doing there.
Yeah, yeah.
But still being able to come home and have amazing friends like you guys.
Oh, yeah.
An amazing family that still, like... it's just so happy to see you. Like, you know, it's a great feeling to have that recharge up your battery to go back out and keep working as hard as possible. So thank you guys for being great friends to this day and being awesome people and just amazing dudes that always welcome me in. So thank you.
Of course. Well, thank you for coming.
Of course.
And hopefully when you get bigger and you get more famous that you'll still, you know, grace us with your presence and, you know, RIP all the people that crossed your path.
Sorry, James Franco.
During the Oscar segments, I worked with him. I worked with him. I worked with him. I worked with him.
I worked with him.
I worked with him.
Did his makeup. Yeah. Prosthetics.
Lord's grip.
They left out Joan Rivers. Well, I didn't work with her. You know,
they put a beard on that guy. Put a beard on that guy.
Oof. Yeesh.
The whole time, just in the audience going, oof. There's gotta be some like investigative blogger be like, wait a second, like dig deep and like find a connection.
The guy that did the Toy Story conspiracy.
All the Pixar conspiracy movies belong in the same universe.
He just comes up to me
doing an interview. I go,
that happens later, man.
Yeah, it happens later.
They can't trace it back to you. It's great. I like it.
I like it.
So, Lawrence, thank you so much for joining us. And that's on Instagram, Lawrence_NBFX.
Yeah, it's LAWRENCE_NBFX. I'm sure they'll post it up.
And then Lawrence Mercado on Facebook.
Yeah, they tagged me in that photo, so go like what I do.
So
I post a lot of pics, and check
really,
it out.
Really, really cool shit. And every time you see the pics on Instagram or Facebook, you're like, oh, shit, he's working with that guy. Oh, shit, I know that person. And it's really, really cool. We're really, really proud of you, man.
Thank
absolutely.
You.
Thank you
very much.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah.
Anything going on?
I don't know. Just same as usual. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to us on oneofus.net. Highly appreciate it. Highly appreciate you taking time to answer our questions on our Happy Campers Facebook page. We love reading your answers. It's just lots of fun. Makes the show great. So keep on doing it. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell your wife and kids. Tell everybody. You can go to comediaagogo.com and you can get all of our older episodes that we have up there. And you can also get our cool movie Blood Cousins and our cool Larry and Regan Big Red and Barbacoa comedy special. It's really cool stuff. Follow us on Twitter at comediaagogo, hashtag public access. And also keep your eyeballs out for our Fiesta show here in San Antonio, April 22nd through the 26th, during Fiesta, A Night in Pinche S.A. The show will fucking rock your dick off, and it'll be a great show. Look forward to that.
That That's right. Remember, every Friday at midnight at the Blind Tiger Comedy Club. Also, yeah. I'm going to be featuring solo March 11th through the 16th at the River Center Comedy Club.
Yeah.
And April 8th, we are going to have our March at Dimes Laugh for Babies 5th annual show with Claudia Rodriguez, Bobby Henline, Anthony Torino, Raul Sanchez, Raymond Orta, and hosted by myself.
And fucking right. High fives and hugs for everybody who comes out of that show.
Yeah, exactly. It all goes toward a good cause and, you know, saving babies that have survived meeting Lawrence Mercado.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real quick, when did we do Blood Cousins? Like, what year?
09.
Mm-hmm. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, six years. Noise.
Noise.
We're old.
Yeah. No, that was awesome. Go check that out. I did makeup on that.
Yeah, yes, you sure did.
Yeah, you sure did.
Yeah, you know, on
and
that
all purple. That cast has died since. Yeah. So, yeah.
See? But once any of us becomes famous, then we're dead.
He yeah. used lean for blood.
He did. It was either that or blood.
Oh, blood.
Guys, I got two options. It's purple stuff. Or blood.
And then I was like, Dave Chappelle, ooh, give me some of that purple stuff. Well, thank you so much, Lawrence. Thank you all for listening once again. This is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we'll fuck you later.